Welcome back. Gary Sharp Show here on 1620 The Zone. Ravi Lule in for Gary Sharp. This is not as good of a song as Every Time We Touch by Cascada. I'm just saying. It's not. It's all right. They can't all be bangers. Joining us now on the Atlanta Nurseries Hotline is our good friend Parker Gabriel from the Lincoln Journal Star. Parker, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So we did have some news out of Lincoln last night that Austin Allen, this will be his final game as a Nebraska Cornhusker against Iowa. Any level of surprise that he's moving on, or was this kind of to be expected?
No, I think it was pretty much to be expected. I mean, when you have the opportunity to come back, you know, you always leave the door open in your mind that you know, maybe that for whatever reason is the best decision for him. But I think he's proven over the course of this year that, you know, his game fits in the NFL, and he's had a great year, and he's gotten just better and better and better every year he's been in Lincoln. And so when those guys, you know, when a guy puts himself in that position and decides that it's time to make the jump, it's never surprising, because that opportunity comes around so rarely that you got to capitalize on it when you can.
It has been a fairly rare opportunity, especially around Nebraska the last few years. But I think there are going to be some other players that maybe decide to test the NFL waters as well. Are there a few guys you think might follow in Austin Allen's footsteps from this team?
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of guys that have decisions to make. I think, you know, Cam Taylor-Britt hasn't made a video like Austin Allen did and said, "I'm going to the NFL." Now watch, that'll drop in the next hour or something like that. But
while we're talking, probably. But
you know, he accepted an invitation to the Senior Bowl, and coming into the season, I mean, he announced he was coming back last year. You know,
right?
This was always meant to be, you know, his last year in Lincoln before going to the NFL, and that narrative, I guess, at least got waylaid a little bit when he struggled early in the year, but he played really well over the second half of the season. And I'm guessing if there was any doubt in scouts' minds about what he was or whatever, I'm guessing that's pretty much been put to bed with what he did against Michigan and Ohio State and just in general over the past 6 or 7 weeks. So, I mean, those are the two guys I would say right now. I mean, obviously Allen's announced and Taylor-Britt, we expect. After that, look, I mean, you know, there's some guys that probably are draft picks or that you would imagine are draft picks, and then it's just about, you know, where do the executives and NFL personnel people think they're going to get drafted. I mean, you know, Damian Daniels is in that camp. Travis Vokolek's in that camp. Cam Jurgens is in that camp where it's like, you know, oh, okay, let's say you're – I'm just making stuff up, but let's say you're a – sixth rounder now, like, can you be a fourth rounder next year? That sort of thing. So those are tough calls, and you know, there's a bunch of guys that are going to have decisions like that, I think, to make in the next couple weeks.
Well, and especially with a guy like Cam Jurgens, who's going to test so well, you wonder how that part of it, you know, if he does decide to go and gets the combine invite, how that part of it will kind of factor into things as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he's young for the position. And he's a, you know, he's a fourth year guy, but he's not, you know, he's a year behind, like Austin Allen, for example, and Vokolek and Daniels, who have all been in college for 5 years. And if it weren't for the extra year of eligibility, all of those guys would have exhausted their eligibility this year. With Cam, no matter what, right, even if it wasn't for COVID, he'd have the option of coming back next year. And so, he's younger than those other guys. Played his position for less time, although Cam Taylor-Britt was a quarterback in high school, but you know, he's played his position at the college level for less time than those other guys, and so maybe there's more upside for him in terms of coming back than there would be like for Austin Allen, for example. But it's very much a decision. He's also going to be faced with having a new position coach and a new coordinator and some different techniques and all of that stuff, and so there's a lot away when you're deciding, you know, stay or come back or go to the NFL or whatever.
We're talking with Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal Star. So Iowa and Coach Ferentz had indicated yesterday that it seemed likely that Alex Padilla was likely to be the starter at quarterback for Iowa this week. How much of a difference in your mind does Alex Padilla versus a Spencer Petras make to Nebraska in terms of how they're preparing?
Not much, I wouldn't think. You know, I haven't watched extensive amounts of Iowa this year, but they're going to do what they're going to do. Eric Schnander on Monday made, I thought, sort of an interesting comment. He said that maybe their tendencies are different, Padilla versus Petras, but I don't think schematically it's going to be a ton different depending on which one's in the game. So it's more of a, hey, this guy does this well or this guy does this well, rather than, you know, they're going to run all this other stuff if one of them's in the game or the other.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks that you might be running a bunch of different stuff with, obviously Nebraska's coming in with a young backup, not a ton of experience in Logan Smothers. If you were Scott Frost, what would kind of be your strategy in terms of how to use Smothers, considering what his skill set is and his lack of game experience?
Yeah, we just talked to Scott about that, and I asked him sort of that question today about, you know, when Logan Smothers has been in the game, he looks most comfortable when they're playing really fast and sort of just making quick decisions and getting the ball out and all of that. And that sort of, you know, Frost sort of said earlier in this year that, and he said it before the Wisconsin game, Wisconsin and Iowa aren't teams you necessarily want to push the tempo against all the time because you can end up getting avalanched in terms of time of possession. So he said today it's not going to be a major overhaul. You just tailor to what his strong suits are. And to use really general terms on that, I guess, since we don't know a lot about Logan Smothers, what we know is that he's a quick decision maker. He gets to the right place with the ball. He probably doesn't have the pure arm strength that Adrian Martinez has. And he's a really good runner. He's a dynamic runner, even though he's not, 220 pounds or whatever, like Adrian Martinez is. So that all says to me that it's probably maybe a little bit more quick game, maybe a little bit more tempo type stuff, and just get in the rhythm and try to, you know, forget about the fact that you're playing Iowa on Black Friday on national TV and just go out and play. So I think it'll look a little different and feel a little different, but I don't think it'll be a reinvention of the wheel or anything like that.
In your mind, is this an audition of sorts for Logan Smothers to just kind of say, here, this is what I can do, you know, maybe take a look at me before you go into the transfer portal and try and find your quarterback for next year?
Yeah, to some degree, for sure. I mean, it's a huge opportunity for him. The thing about the portal conversation is just, you know, If Adrian Martinez leaves, which I mean at this point is a big if, but if he does,
sure,
they've got their scholarship quarterbacks are Smothers, Harburg, and incoming Richard Torres, who had a knee injury this year and you know had his senior season cut short. I mean, that's not enough for a college roster. You know, two guys who have not played much. Smothers will have one start under his belt. One guy who maybe they've got a package for him on Friday or something, but otherwise has never played, and one guy coming out of high school. I mean, that's just not, you know, that probably is not going to cut it depth-wise. So I think, I mean, an Adrian Martinez decision, or maybe if it's a quick, you know, maybe if the recovery's quick and he is going to be back by spring ball and he decides to stay, like, I guess there's a scenario where they don't look to the portal for a quarterback, but I don't see it. I mean, I think they're going to be after one no matter what happens. But today, or not today, Friday, can Logan Smothers can take a step towards saying, that's great, you can bring someone in, but I'm not going to be easy to beat out, you know, going into 2022. So, and, you know, worst case scenario, it's tape that he's putting out there for other teams too. So that's just, you know, that's the way the world is in college football these days.
So I want you to finish the sentence for me. Nebraska will beat Iowa if.
They don't turn the ball over, and they play them even or close on special teams.
Yeah, because the Iowa has been pretty pedestrian when they're not getting easy looks from short fields on special teams and turnovers, right? I mean, their offense, it does not overwhelm you on typical drives, right?
Right, yeah. I think if Nebraska consistently makes Iowa go 75 or 80 yards, they're going to be in great shape. Now, you know, hard to say that with a, you know, first-time starter at quarterback and maybe not your top running back, it's hard to think that you're going to go against a defense that leads the Big Ten in turnovers and play perfectly clean and score 30 points. But if you don't give up the big play in special teams and you make Iowa go the length of the field, you're going to be right in it. Low-scoring game, you know, possession game, that sort of thing. That's well within reach for Nebraska. I know that doesn't sound like the sexiest path to a win, but you're sort of in a by any means necessary situation for Nebraska. You know, on Friday they got three wins on the year. You get in there and you mix it up and you just try to find any way possible to having one more point on the board than the other team at the end.
All right, so obviously Nebraska plays Iowa on Friday. Their season is over as soon as that whistle blows. How long do you think we're waiting to start hearing names, either officially or unofficially, as replacements on the offensive staff?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know for sure, but I think, you know, a lot of team seasons are going to end on Saturday. You know, there's obviously a ton of teams playing in bowl games. That doesn't normally, like, you know, I don't know, pick a bowl game, the Vegas Bowl or the
Sarsaparilla Bowl
or what, you know, the Gator Bowl or what, you know, unless you're playing in a big one, a lot of times that won't preclude, you know, leaving to take a new job the way that,
especially assistants, right?
The regular season might. And so I think, like, I'm not saying they're going to send a release out on Saturday night or anything like that. I don't know exactly how close they are to nailing down a couple of those spots, but I don't think it will take very long. And I think you'll hear something next week. Now, is it going to be all four? Is it one? Is it two? You know, who knows? We'll find out. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's movement in the next 7 days.
All right, Parker, we'll get you out of here on the very important stuff. What part of the Thanksgiving meal are you looking forward to the most tomorrow?
I like it all. It's a good question. You know, the thing is, like, the pie is great. Like, I'm making an apple pie.
Nice.
I've gotten better at it over the last couple of years, so I'm hoping this will be my best one yet. But, like, the thing that you can get a piece of apple pie somewhere. The thing that I don't really eat except for on the holidays is mashed potatoes. So that's always, that's always a highlight.
Okay. Are you like a garlic mashed potato guy?
Yeah, it's just a frequency conversation. Like, I don't go out to a restaurant very often I think I'll do mashed potatoes.
Sure.
So when you make it on a holiday, you know, that you got to enjoy it while you got it.
Well, I certainly can understand that, and I hope that your apple pie goes well. Do you use a specific kind of apples? Are you getting real picky about it?
So I mix a little bit.
Okay.
Like 3-to-1 ratio. I cut in a little Granny Smith. You know, I use red apples. It depends a little bit. I think I have Honeycrisp this year, but then I cut in a little Granny Smith to get the tart factor. You know, just raise it up a little bit.
There you go. You're getting serious about this. I like it.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, though, like, as long as you get the crust right and you put a ton of sugar in it, like, it's going to be fine.
That's true. The crust is essential, but you realize that, so that's a step in the right direction.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, if you got that down, which, you know, that's the toughest part, but if you got that down, then you're sitting pretty.
I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. It's butter. Lots of butter.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Parker Gabriel from the Lincoln Journal Star. Parker, thank you so much for joining us. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks. Same to you.
That's our friend Parker Gabriel from the Lincoln Journal Star, making himself and, you know, his friends and family a nice little apple pie for Thanksgiving. I've heard a lot of people go apple pie instead of pumpkin pie recently.
We usually have one of each.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I prefer apple pie in general. I think it's a better pie.
Yeah.
But I do think the pumpkin pie is a better Cool Whip delivery system.
Yes, that is true.
So I, you know, for purposes of Cool Whip, I do lean pumpkin pie a little bit. For purposes of pie, the apple is better.
Sometimes, you know, you go with staples because they are the staple.
Sure.
Not because they are the best option.
Honestly, I'll probably do both. Yeah. I'm okay with doing a couple pieces of pie, spread them out a little bit. Do you do the, you like to do the ice cream on top of the apple pie? A little scoop of vanilla?
My mom is usually pretty good about making sure there's ice cream in there. I don't need it. Okay. If you give
it's a nice bonus, though.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and I got to ask, where are you? Somebody on, I think Johnny Pig on Twitter said something about slice of cheese on apple pie.
I have seen that.
That's a hard pass for me.
That's monstrous, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not about that life. That
No, thank you.
That sounds terrible. I'm sure there's a reason people think it tastes good with, you know, flavor contrast and whatnot. Hard pass for me. Just give me warm up the apple pie a little bit. Throw a scoop of vanilla ice cream on there. Good to go. That's all I need. No, really appreciate Parker Gabriel, though, and I hope his pie turns out terrific for him and his loved ones. All right. Coming up next, I've got a few thoughts on what Nebraska needs to do in order to beat Iowa. Some of it we touched on with Parker Gabriel. I've got some other thoughts as well. That's coming up next here on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.